Today's scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. The page number is included in the bulletin. And on Sunday mornings, we've been going through 1 Thessalonians. Today is Palm Sunday, where the church looks back and remembers that Jesus Christ entered triumphantly into Jerusalem before his death. It was sort of a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people recognized him briefly as a king. But Jesus Christ is coming again. And part of, I believe, the Easter message is his second coming and the triumph over death. And that's what we want to look at this morning, because I am sure all of you at one time or another have contemplated your own demise. That the fact that we don't go on forever. Each of us has a time stamp on us. Now, I never would have thought the time would come when Jan and I would have to start thinking about retirement. But lo and behold, that time has come. In fact, we got a meeting this week to discuss our retirement with the state and our retirement plans. Never would have thought that would happen, but it's here because time goes on. But with the gospel, there is hope. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 13 through 18. Listen to what the word of God says to you. Brothers, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's pray and ask God to bless what we have just read. Jesus, we're a fearful people living in a very dangerous world. Your people need encouragement. So encourage us, Holy Spirit. You're the comforter. Use the words that the Apostle Paul has given us. I make this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, death can be a sort of a gruesome experience, but yet there are those who seem to find some humor in it. And why not? We've got to find some humor somewhere, don't we? So one of the ways that you see this, that you think I'm strange for saying that, well, you should listen to and see what's on some tombstones. For example, Ezekiel Peace from Nantucket, Massachusetts. This is what's on his tombstone. He is not here, but only his pod. He shelled out all his peas and went to God. Or there's Bob Dent of Port Gibson, Mississippi. Here lies the body of Bob Dent. He kicked up his heels and to hell he went. And in England, there was a woman who was married. Now, this woman had four husbands. Here's what the tombstone said. Stranger, pause and shed a tear. For Mary Jane lies buried here. Mingled in a most surprising manner with Susan Joy and parts of Hannah. Even in death, people seem to find some humor. Now, but to be honest, death scares us, doesn't it? And it has scared generations of people, even Christians. And we go to all these extremes to try to avoid what is obviously there. We use oil of Olay. We take our vitamins. We exercise, hoping to delay what is the obvious. And what really grips us is that life is enjoyable and we don't want to face the fact that one day, well, life is going to end. I mean, we like going to our favorite restaurants and eating the let's say, lost pizza where you can get the nice pizza. Or we can go for a walk on the nature trail and the smells that are there and the sights of the water and the dolphins that are playing. Or our travels that we can take. And we often say somebody's life was cut short. But even if you live to 80, it's still cut short. And we fear the loss of fellowship, fear the loss of family. But the gospel tells us something different. It takes our fear of death and gives us hope. And what the Apostle Paul is doing today is telling us that Christ is coming again. And because he's coming again, it reorients our whole view of life. The Holy Spirit has given us this passage to tell not only the believers in Thessalonica, but you as well. Christ is coming. And that gives us the greatest of hope. Hope in the second coming. Now, as Paul writes this, keep in mind that what is central in these verses that we just read is Christ's redemption. Now, a lot of us think only that after death, there's going to be the soul. We're going to be some form of ghostly existence. But the redemption of Jesus Christ is both body and soul. The future is not one of being in some clouds somewhere or in some ethereal world, but it's life in this world, but lived to the fullest, which we are not living now, no matter how much we enjoy this world. And I want you to see what he's saying here to the believers. Look at verse 1. He tells them in chapter 4, verse 1, he's teaching them how to live to please God. And why is he having to do that? Because he's gone away. He's not there anymore. He was only there for like 3 weeks. Couldn't tell him everything. And then look at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. He has to teach them. He has to teach them because in 3 weeks you can't teach everything to everybody. So he's writing to them about a very human concern. What is going to happen? And we have to realize that just like today, back then people wept and grieved over the loss of loved ones. Jesus Christ wept. But what he tells us about Christ's redemption is the Messiah's model. And what is it? We confessed it. We believe that Christ died, rose again, and he's going to come again. That is the model that Jesus Christ went through. That is the rubric, not only for Jesus, but for all of us. Death, life, Jesus comes again. His resurrection and his second coming shows that he conquered death and sin once and for all. It proved that we are justified, that the atonement was real. And listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4 in verse 25. It says he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The continuing life of Christ after the crucifixion proves the cross worked. There was an open tomb because death was defeated. When it came to Jesus, death took on more than it could chew. And he brought death down. Grace conquers. So there is life, death, life again. That is the rubric. That is the model. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 15:15, what does the great truth of the Bible say? Death is defeated. You will live forever and ever with Christ. And you know, when we look at that early Christian preaching, we often think that all they talked about was, well, you got to get saved. Go to Acts, look at those early sermons. What did they contain? Yes, you need the cross. But a lot of those sermons were talking about the resurrection. Now, I once ran into a very grumpy preacher. And one of the things that he said was this. He said, there's too much talk about eternal life and not enough about sin. Really? Really? But look at the book of Acts. Look at the early preaching. There's an awful lot of talk about life after death, eternal life. And the reason it is there is because in the ancient world, they didn't have any hope. Once you died, that was it. One of the ancients said this, hope for the living, the dead are without hope. In the ancient world, you went to Hades, and it was not enjoyable. There was nothing to enjoy there. But that is not what the Bible says for Christians. And as we look at our own world today, what is the problem that our society has? Yes, it's sin, but they have no hope. They have no hope beyond the grave. I don't know how a lot of people go on. They say this, all there is death and taxes. When you die, you're 6 foot under. But that is not what the Bible says at all. Oh, yes, the signs of aging and death are all around us. You know, I got a dermatology test a couple of years ago. Yes, precancerous cells, which they cut off. This past year, I only had barnacles, which I never did understand what a barnacle was, but, you know, they cut those off. No big deal. But notice, the signs of decay are there. Went to a workout one time, came away tired and sore, not young anymore. The signs of decay. But that's not the end. Because the Messiah's model says there is life, death, eternal life. And this Easter season, that's what we believe. There is more to life than death and taxes. There is death, there is taxes, there's eternal life with Jesus. There's more to life than meets the eye. And we have to remember what the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing at all. That's the Messiah's model. He overcame death and lived again. And not only is that part of the message of redemption, but so also is the Christian's rest. And you may be saying to yourself, okay, well, what happens when we do die? Well, look at what Scripture says. We rest. We sleep. Now, that word is used three times. You can see it in verse 13, 14, and 15. Now, why does the Bible use that word sleep? Well, in the pagan world, it was used because death, like sleep, there's some overlap. You don't move a lot when you sleep. You're just there, and you don't wake up. But Christianity turned that on its head. It said that death, like sleep, is temporary and there is rest for your souls. Because in this world, We labor away against sin, and there is the labor of our work, which after a while gets to be an awful lot. And how many times when someone is near the end of life, we say, they're tired. They are. But the Bible says that when we die, we rest. Graveyards are nothing more than dormitories for the dead, because Jesus is coming and they will be awakened. Now, does that mean your soul sleeps? There are some who believe that, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. No, it is quite clear that our souls go to be with Jesus. And I want you to think of the parable of Lazarus. What happens to Lazarus after he died? He went to Abraham's side. In the book of Revelation, what are the saints who have gone before us doing? They're praising God. Now, when you die, your body does rest. Your soul has rest from sin and the labors of this world, but you are present and conscious with Jesus Christ. But it is rest. Rest from all the pain and all the sorrow in this world. Rest from the pain and labor of life. Isn't that what we all want? And for us, death is this big fear. The cessation of existence. We become worm food. Fertilizer. Rest means for the Christian, our bodies wait for redemption. And they are resting from their labor in this world. But it is not the end of life. And I want you to think of those from this church who have gone before us. Lynn Heath, Wilma Davey, the Hansons. Are they 6 foot under? No, their souls are with Jesus. And you know what they're doing right now? They're waiting. They're waiting for that great day when Jesus comes and reunites body and soul. But they're at rest. The sin that they had to deal with and the pain in this world is gone. Because the Messiah has a model, and that is life, death, eternal life. But keep in mind here that when we are talking about this passage, it's the Messiah's salvation and redemption, but it's also his second coming. He's coming again, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that should give us a great comfort and encouragement for our souls, shouldn't it? There's a Peanuts cartoon. And here's what's happening. Lucy is looking outside at the rain that's coming down. And she says this, boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world? And Linus responds, it will never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that he would that would never happen again. And the sign is the promised rainbow. And Lucy says, yes, that has taken a great load off my mind. And Linus says, sound theology has a way of doing that. The second coming is part of our sound theology. It is what we believe as Christians, and it is of great encouragement to us. And here's what's encouraging. It's what you see in verses 16 through 18. You won't miss it. Now, here was the fear that people had back then. They missed it. Or all those people who died before Jesus came, they're going to miss it. The Bible says, no, you're not going to miss it. Now, in popular theology, which is really bad, you know, there's always these scenes where Jesus comes, and there's one person in bed, and they wake up, and their wife, their spouse, is gone because there's been this secret rapture. Or they're driving down the road, and Jesus comes, and the car's still going on. One person is still driving, but the passenger has disappeared because of the second coming. They say it's secret. What does Jesus say here? What does Paul say? Is it secret? I got to tell you, when Jesus comes again, it's going to be noisy. Because look at what it says here in verses 16 through 18. I want you to notice the sounds. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Think of an army officer yelling at the recruits. You can't miss it. Think of the loudspeakers telling the soldiers what to do. So there's a loud command. And then there's the voice of an archangel. And then there's going to be the trumpet call of God, like in the Old Testament, when a trumpet call would call people together again. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Paul is telling people this who are scared they're going to miss it. But you are not going to miss it. You know, when Christ came into this world the first time, he came in humility. There are people who didn't know about it. But the second time, he comes back as a king. No one will miss it. No one will miss it at all. Whether you are in a grave in Gadsden, a tomb in Tuscaloosa, a charnel house or the White House, from the bottom of the sea to the top of a mountain, you're not going to miss it. You will not miss it. Christ's second coming will be widely known, and everybody will know it. And here is what is great about it. Not only will we see Jesus, but look at what verse 17 says. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. In other words, the picture is this. Jesus is coming down to earth. The dead who had died, their bodies are resurrected. The rest of the Christians on the earth. And there's going to be this resurrection experience where we're all together with the Lord. And here's what's going to happen one day. Let's just say you're still alive at the second coming. We're all going to meet all those who died before us with Jesus Christ. That means Jim Hansen, Margaret Hansen, Lynn Heeb, all the others who we've known here, who have gone on before us, who we dearly miss. We're all going to be together again with Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. That is what we are looking forward to. Listen to what it says at the end in 18. Encourage one another with these words. Do you know what that second coming is like? Class reunion. You got some people who want to go to their class reunion to remember the past, to be together with friends they haven't seen. Or think of a homecoming. That's what you got to keep in mind when Jesus comes again. Homecoming. Homecoming when we're all together again. And Jesus ushers in a new heavenly order in this world. So this is Palm Sunday. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. But there's going to be a second coming when he really does come as the king of this world. And we'll be together with him and all the saints who existed before us and after us in that time of great grace where life can be lived to the fullest. Let's pray. Our Lord and our Savior, encourage us with what we have just read today. Encourage us that you're coming again. Encourage us with eternal life. Encourage us that our faith is real. Don't forsake us, but build us up this Easter season. Hear our prayer, our God. And come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, your people need you. Amen.